Over the Lenten season, if you have been with us, we have been walking through a number of the different characters that appear in the Lenten story. And this morning, as we look at the story of the resurrection and the power of the resurrection, and as we read our text, I'm hoping that you'll focus in on one character, you could say, within the story, and that is of the angel. For the angel in our story is a critical component in this story. Hear the word of God. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The teacher whom they had followed had been crucified. He had been laid in a tomb. The man who understood them like no other, who stood for Mary when she anointed Jesus' feet and everyone said it was a waste. He was the one who was there and cast out the seven demons from Mary Magdalene. He was there when Peter would deny him. He was the one who was there and performed so many miracles. But Friday, it was so fresh in their eyes. They could simply remember the cross. They could remember their Savior dying. And they were filled with tears. But now, someone had to go to the tomb. The disciples surely weren't going to do it. Man, they were locked behind doors that were so locked up you couldn't get in if you tried. It was going to be up to the women. They would need to go to the tomb. They would need to bring the spices. They would need to prepare Jesus' body for burial. It would all be them. But Easter, we know the rest of the story. It's good news. He is risen. He is alive. Everything that he said in his word was true. He was victorious. Death could not hold him. He was alive. Who expects to come to a tomb and find those who were dead alive? Imagine the shock when they come to the tomb and the stone is rolled away and it was empty. The women weren't expecting it. They weren't expecting what Jesus had prophesied to be true. Otherwise, they wouldn't have brought spices. Otherwise, they would not have been filled with such grief. Resurrections just didn't happen. At the cross, they watched from a distance. They weren't allowed to get close. But today was different. Kelly Winter from the Gospel Coalition asked this question: how many times do you and I look in places where only dead men live? How many times have we gone to the tombs or to a funeral or to a graveyard? And we looked at the tomb trying to find life. How many times have we carried our treasures of the world trying to find life in them? And so the women are there at that tomb where you don't expect life. And they get the question, why are you looking for life here? Look to Jesus. But weren't they in fact looking for Jesus? They simply were looking in the wrong place. Perhaps they forgot. Perhaps they didn't remember. Perhaps they were so overwhelmed with grief that they couldn't recall these words from the book of Luke. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day he would rise again from the dead? And at this, the woman remembered the words of Jesus. I think of those words of Jesus. What words of the Savior do you and I need to hear this Easter morning? What promises has God laid out in your story and mine that we not only need to hear, but we need to claim because God said it was so? What truths, maybe, have we relaxed for a more comfortable alternative? The men, they finally make their way to the tomb. Most of them fled. They went home. They went behind locked doors. And the women, they wept. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. I think it's good to pause there. As I mentioned to you earlier in this Lenten season, we rush from Palm Sunday to Good Friday that we miss everything that happens in between. But there's something significant, not only for Mary, but for you and I. There are moments in our lives where God wants us to wait in that moment of pause. In that moment of wonder. In that moment with Mary as she is filled with tears as she looks into the tomb. Because it's there that it's allowed to be processed. It's there that God is allowed and God is ministering to Mary in her grief and in her sorrow so that when the time comes, she will truly be able to see. And Mary begins to wipe away the tears. And she sees something that she didn't see before. She sees angels. And they ask her a question. Woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him. Did you catch that statement? They have taken my Lord, not the disciples' Lord, not the Lord of someone else, but her Lord. This was real. This was personal. This would be her Lord, her Redeemer, her Savior, her Vindicator. He would be the one who would make her new. And it was personal. Just tell me what you did with his body, she asks. And then an angel says, do not be alarmed. Has that ever struck you as funny? You see an angel, and they say, do not be alarmed. Picture catching your breath, your heart pounding, and you look into the tomb, and all you see are the clothes of Jesus that are wrapped up. I don't know what went through the women at that moment, but here you begin to hear the echo. He is risen, he is alive, he is victorious, and the story comes to life for these women. Don't be alarmed. And the women left the tomb, it says, and they left silently. They didn't say a word to anyone. For the moment where they had watched from a distance, they were now up close and personal. To something they understood, to something that they can't wrap their head around. But if death isn't the end, what's the purpose of life? What happens when we die? The story of the gospel begins to get unfolded and unpacked it here. The story of Easter involves the most unlikely of characters. It includes those who have it somewhat together, those who have made a blunder of their lives, and those that you would least expect. If you are trying to make a case for the resurrection, you don't use women as your leading examples. Women in this culture had very little status. Their testimony in the court of law was not admissible. And the first person that Jesus appears to are these women at the tomb. And he says, go tell the disciples. Go tell the disciples the good news of the resurrection so that they may see, that they may hear, and that they may then believe. For when they believe, I'm going to send them out and they are going to tell. And many of them, like me, will lose their life for the gospel. I'm going ahead to Galilee. It's there that they will see me. And the gospel of the resurrected Christ is already beginning to stir in the hearts of man and transform lives. And the gospel is going to spread rapid fire. The good news of Easter morning is that God keeps his promises. Just as he said he would come, he would live, he would die, he would rise again. And he did all of those things. He says to you this Easter morning, whatever you are going through, whatever your past is, you are forgiven. You are redeemed. I have come to give you life and life to the full. I have come to give you peace that will so overwhelm your life. I have come to transform your life and to send you into the world to tell the victorious story of the gospel. The angel told the woman, he is not here, he is risen. Come and see where he lays. And they went and they told. They went to the disciples. They were still behind locked doors. For most of them, they would need to see or hear for themselves. Do you remember Thomas who says, I will not believe unless I can see and I can touch his wounds? If you're trying to prove a case for the resurrection, you're not going to choose people that run away at the first sight of a problem. And Jesus says to Thomas and to the others, if you need to touch, go ahead. And Thomas makes this profession, my Lord and my God. Jesus then appears to those who still did not believe. If you're trying to make a case for the story of the resurrection, you're not going to go to skeptics who aren't going to believe you anyways. James, his own brother, did not believe. Jesus said to James, you ought to leave now and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one wants to become a public figure by acts of secrecy. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe him. The resurrection story calls us to go. But did you catch that part in the text, which I find so amazing, that the women are told, go and tell the disciples and Peter. Why is it that Peter is singled out in our story? One can only remember Jesus say to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan"? One can only remember, "I never knew you, I never knew you, I never knew you." So why does Jesus single out Peter? I believe it's this. Peter, you are not disqualified. The gospel of grace is for you. The resurrection story is for you. The resurrection story is for all of us who fall short of the glory of God, who have wandered from our faith, who are in the need of redemption. That is every man in the world and woman in the world. My grace is sufficient for all of you. And so we may have been doubters. We may have wandered in our faith. God, this morning, in the story of the resurrection, invites us to the power of the gospel. He invites us to new life. He invites you to victory. But he also calls you to one more thing. And that's to go and to tell the world. Just as he called the women, just as he called the disciples, just as he called the skeptics, just as he called Peter, he says to you this morning, because of the risen Christ, you in the power of the Holy Spirit are invited to go in the world and through your lives and through your word, tell the story through your life. And if you need to, use words that Christ is risen. And may the joy of Christ, may the victory that he gives, may the assurance of your sins being forgiven invite you to live a victorious life in Christ, filled with great and exceeding joy. And may that story ring true, because he is alive and he came for you. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the power of the cross. We thank you for the fact that you rose again from the dead. And that even right now that you are alive and you are sitting at the right hand of your Father. And there you are interceding on our behalf, and that one day you will come again and you will take us to live with you forever. And Lord, we give you thanks for that joy and that comfort and that hope that we have. But Lord, that is not only for the future. Lord, may we claim that and live in that hope already now, knowing that you have us, that we are yours, that we belong to you. And may the power of the resurrection speak out into everything we do and we say this week. And Lord, we thank you that we get to do that in community. And Lord, we thank you that you are always with us. And Lord, this morning we want to remember Rob and Julie. Lord, we pray that you would comfort them. We pray that that assurance that we have in you would speak deeply into their story, not only this morning, but in the next couple days and weeks and months as they mourn the loss of Julie's dad. We pray that you would comfort them. We pray that your peace would surround them and just overwhelm them. Lord, we want to pray for continued healing for Jake, Lord, from his surgery this past week. We pray that you would keep his body free from infection. We pray that his body would heal as it's supposed to. And Lord, we just pray that you would just return more strength and more energy, and Lord, that he would have the patience, Lord, just to allow his body to do what it needs to do. Would you be with Phil and Janetta, oh God, as they begin to make their way back from Tanzania for a break from the mission field to a new mission field here where they have some time back home. We pray that it would be a time of restoration for them. We pray, Lord, that the fruits of their work would continue to grow in their absence, and that, Lord, you would use those who are behind and the church that is there to continue to tell the good story, the amazing story of the resurrection. Would you continue, O Lord, to be with Lois as she continues to recover in hospital? Would you strengthen her and Howard? Lord, would you refresh her body? Would you be near to both of them, Lord, that they would be reminded again that you are with them? Lord, we thank you for the clarity of her faith. And Lord, how she invites us to pray. For Ken and Maria, Lord, we pray for continued healing. Lord, we pray for Ken that you would, Lord, allow his body to heal to such a point, Lord, that you would clear his body of the infection that was there totally and completely, Lord, that as he anticipates another surgery coming up, that, Lord, that surgery would be able to happen and it would be timely and it would be successful. And that, Lord, his body would recover to such a point that he would be able to come home. Would you continue to be with Martin and Taya, for Carolyn, for others, Lord, we know that are struggling with their health. We pray that you would be near to them. And Lord, as we as your church continue to worship, would you call us, would you empower us with your spirit that we would go and tell, to tell the news of the risen Christ, which can transform the heart of the most ardent skeptic, that would give us the ability to believe when we don't think we can, to trust when trusting is hard, and to place our hands in yours, knowing that you will hold us and carry us and lead us, and that through the story of how you are working in our lives, we may point others to Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.